Well, good morning to each one this morning. I'm blessed to get to be here with you this morning. Thank you for being a faithful people of God. Some of you know how it is. You travel to different places around the world, I guess, around the States, yes, around the world. And especially probably when you've lived in a place that was very, very needy and very, very lacking in true Christianity and even Christian principles, and then to travel around and realize, thank you, Lord, there are groups of people who love you. There are groups of people who follow you. There are groups of people who live it out. So thank you, brothers and sisters. We just moved up to Vermont with a little church plant there. And as we were traveling this way, Vermont is fairly barren of Christian principles and presence. Much more so than here. And even as we traveled 90 heading west, you started seeing more and more, oh, there's a church and there's a sign that's proclaiming something of Christ. And slowly, as we traveled west, we saw more and more of that. But thank you, brothers and sisters, for being faithful. We want to do and be the same. Could we pray here before we begin? Just bow our heads and pray. Father, would you make this time profitable? Would you help us as we look at your word and as we open the words from the Almighty God, that you would help bring about godly change, as we heard about this morning. Affect us, Lord, is our prayer. Affect me to be changed more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ, to be the people of God that you intended us to be. Would you help us? And even these few words I have this morning, would you use them for your glory and bless your people? Please, Father, help me not to say wrong things, but to say right things, pure things, things that Jesus would say. Thank you so much, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'd like to read down through some of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 here this morning. There's something that has been amazing me. We've all read this many, many times, I know. And I'm thankful that we have, and I'm thankful for the truth that we have in it. But you also know how it is when God brings something fresh and new and alive, and there's something that is astounding to me. And I think it will be to you also, as we go over it, something that it just doesn't make sense to a human mind. It doesn't really make sense. But that's okay. God doesn't always make sense to a human mind. So let's begin here reading a few verses. Let's read verse 9 of chapter 3 here just first. Verse 9 is the key verse that is amazing me. And then we'll go back and get a little more context. For we, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, are laborers together with God. This is out of context, but did you just understand what you just read? We are what? Laborers together with who? God. Is that not amazing? The Almighty God of the universe, the one who spoke and things came into existence. It's not a matter, I know we like to use comparisons, and I like them also sometimes, of an ant and a human. And an ant doesn't understand a human, and a human doesn't understand an ant, because there's such a vast difference between them. But that difference between an ant and a man is very, very close in comparison to the difference between Almighty God and you and me. And yet he says, laborers together with God. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And it really doesn't make sense. I'm in a partnership with my father and my brother and some others. And in a partnership, that means we are each a part of this work and this business that we're trying to accomplish. We're in a partnership. We are laborers together to put steel together, weld it together, cut it, form it, and make what people want. That's what we are. We're laborers together in that. Now, my father is the majority partner. He owns the vast majority of it all. But I have contributed a small little amount so that I also am a partner. But in reality, he's the majority partner and I'm a minority partner. So when we think of laborers together with God, my mind went, oh, okay, somehow the God of the universe has created a partnership and I'm supposed to be a part of that. He contributes his part and I contribute my part. That's a co-laborer, fellow laborers together. But as I thought about this, you know, my father's a majority partner, I'm a minority partner. That's not a good comparison either. It's not a good comparison to say, oh yes, God and I are working together and He does most of it and I do a little bit of it. That doesn't really even fit. Because we're talking about the God of the universe, the creator of everything, the one who sees the very thoughts and intents of our hearts and even knows my heart and your heart in a way that you and I don't even understand ourselves. This is the one who's beyond all comparing, as the song says. So it doesn't really work to say, oh, okay, so we have a partnership like in our business, Brubaker Fabricators, and I'm a partner and my father. That doesn't really work. But somehow, I don't understand how, the God of the universe has said to me, I want you to be a fellow laborer with me. I don't understand that. It really doesn't, I can't really grasp that. Last Sunday evening, I went to Brother Chad's house there in Vermont, Brother Chad, and we went into an upstairs bedroom and sat down on a sofa he has in one of their bedrooms and we began to talk. And we began to share, and the wrestle in our hearts was how to work with a dear, dear couple that aren't in their first marriage. And so we're sitting together and we're discussing, how do we do this? And Brother Chad has blessed them and nurtured them and discipled them and been a tremendous blessing in their lives. And so he has brought them a long way. And they have been a tremendous inspiration. They come from a very little knowledge of the Word, and they'll be reading along and they'll come and they'll say, well, this is what the Word of God says. And then they start living it. And, oh, this is the way it should be. And they begin living it. And we have just seen them change in their lives many, many times. It's been a beautiful thing. And Brother Chad and his wife have done a beautiful job of discipling, teaching, training the principles of Christ. Last Sunday, he was sharing with Brother Chad. He said, Brother, I was reading about the Ethiopian eunuch and how Philip came along, hopped up in the chariot with him, and started explaining Isaiah. And there preached unto him Jesus, it says. And then just down a verse or two, it says, the eunuch said, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And he looked at Brother Chad and he said, Chad, what hinders me from being baptized? He just was reiterating the question of this eunuch. And so we were sitting and discussing Sunday evening, after the question was posed, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Lord, how do we... They've read through the Scripture and seen divorce and remarriage, and they asked about it, but they didn't dive in real deep. And and they discussed it. So Brother Chad and I were talking and sharing, and I looked at him and I said, "Brother, we're messing with eternity. Eternal consequences about how we do things, how we share the truth with them, how we help them to see that the way they're living doesn't fit with Jesus' heart. They're living together in a way that is not marriage." And so we're just discussing, and I just said, "Brother, we're messing with eternity. What we're going to do in sharing and discussing with them and opening the Word to them, we are affecting eternity." Is that what God's talking about? Co-laborers. Why didn't God just send, and I'm sure you've probably heard this before, why didn't God just send an angel down and an angel could proclaim? I just think surely an angel who's been in the presence of God could explain things and do things better than me, even better than you. And yet He said, "I want man, mankind. I want the beauty of a created being to be like me and to be laboring together with me." Do you understand that call of God to us? Isn't that amazing? God allows you and I into His circle, so to speak, and allows us into that circle and says, "I want you to be a part of the chain of my plan, and I want you to be a part of that." That's an amazing thing. And I think we all should be amazed at it. I think we should. I think we should also tremble at the responsibility that He put on us. And realize, "Wow, Lord, You want me to be a co-laborer, a fellow, a laborer together with God." And we'll look at this context and look at some of these scriptures a little more. But I want to just go through, let's go through 1 Corinthians 3 here just a little bit more. Let's start back in verse 6. And I'm just going to write a few things on the board. It helps me remember things. Helps me, and I hope it can be a help to you. So I'm going to put up here, laborers together with God. Starting in verse 6. We're just kind of jumping in the middle here. "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." So the Apostle Paul is jumping in, or we're jumping into the middle of what he's sharing. And he's saying that, "I realize, Corinthians, I came along and planted, Apollos watered." Earlier on, we can see that some of them, they were kind of arguing a bit. "Well, I'm with Apollos group. I'm an Apollosite." And others were saying, "Well, I'm a Paulite. You know, I'm on Paul's side." And others were saying, "Well, I'm with Cephas and I'm with Christ." And so the Apostle Paul is trying to make things clear here. "I have planted, Apollos watered, but listen, Apollos or I can't give the increase. It's God who gives the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are laborers together, verse 9, with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building." I was trying to figure out how to picture this in my own heart, my own mind. And so I pictured, okay, he says, "Ye are God's building." So here's a building, and here's Corinth. And Paul is saying, "You at Corinth are God's building. And then he had talked about Apollos. Apollos, and we have Paul, and we also have God who gave the increase. And he said, we are working together for a purpose. We are all working together because we want to see this building. Sorry, it bothered me that I wasn't sure how to spell this. We are working together because we want to see this building happen, and so we are working on God's building. Now, I said that lightly, and we just went over that briefly. But Apollos and Paul were given a beautiful place and opportunity to be with God in the building of Corinth. Can I just repeat? That's amazing. That's amazing. That you and I as human beings, Apollos and the Apostle Paul, were given a part to play in the building of an eternal house. But let's go verse 10. It's according to grace. The way they were doing it was according to, maybe I'll say it this way, given grace. The way they worked and the way they labored on an eternal house was only according to grace. It's only according to as God was giving to Apollos and Paul that they could truly build. So in the end, how much was Paul and how much was Apollos actually doing? In the end, their part, really, they weren't doing anything. Because as they ministered to Corinth, it was done according to given grace. So as God put grace in Apollos and Paul, that grace was channeled into Corinth, and Corinth was built. And a holy temple of God was built. And so, again, we find the reality that Apollos and Paul had very little to do with it, in one sense. And yet, for some amazing reason, most of the time, God doesn't do it without an Apollos or a Paul. I don't really know why. Brother Allen mentioned last night, as we were praying a bit last night, the idea that there are more dreams and visions happening in the Muslim world, and people are seeing Jesus, and they're trying to figure out what's going on, and truth and revelation is coming to them. And I do think it's true that God at some times is revealing Himself straight to an individual, and it's amazing and beautiful. But most of the stories, I think for myself, all of the stories I have read, now maybe there are others outside of this box, but I'm going to say it this way, most of the stories that I know about, they're usually sent to a person also. And that person speaks into their life, uses the Word of God. And so God uses this simple little chain and puts man in that chain of His working. Is that not amazing? A worker together with God. Can I not lift up the beauty of that this morning? The amazing beauty of a man being able to work with God. That's amazing. It doesn't really make sense. But it's the way God chose it. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. So it's just given grace. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. I, Paul, build a foundation, another... adds to it, but remember what he goes on and says in the next verse. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the foundation, he made very clear, the foundation Jesus Christ. Again, that doesn't have to do with Paul. It doesn't have to do with Apollos. It has to do with God. But he says, I get to be a master builder. But we need to take heed. It's not a small thing. As I was sharing there with Brother Chad, let's remember, we're messing with eternity. And I'm sorry, maybe messing is kind of a bad way. That's the way I said it there as we were sitting. But we are affecting eternity and eternal consequences. We must take heed and not take it lightly. As we sat there sharing with them, it was agonizing. I think my wife said, we as couples sat together, that's one of the hardest conversations I've ever had. Here they were following truth, taking a step, taking a step, taking a step. And we began talking, we looked at the builder who went forth to build. And you remember where Jesus said, if a man starts building and then he doesn't have enough to finish it? And I shared with them, I said, you know, we're building a house. We're continuing to build a house. So we bought a partially finished house. And I said, how would it be if I asked Brother Chad, could you get some supplies for this house? We want to continue building. Would you get me some supplies? But remember, I only have enough money for 22x4s. You can go to the store. You can buy 22x4s, maybe a couple of other small things, and that's it. But we want to finish this house. It won't work. You can't finish a house with enough money for only 22x4s. And so we were just sharing with them. Jesus said, let's count the cost. What is it going to cost? As we're trying to build this house and we see God working in your hearts and lives, we were sharing with them, there's a house being built. What is it? Are you willing to pay the price? Or are you just saying, I'm just 22x4s? And all the thrill, he looked back and he said, listen, I don't know what the cost of this house is, but I know what the cost of the house of the enemy is, and I don't want it. Yeah. He said, I don't know what it means to sign my name at the bottom of a page and say, here, God, you fill it in. I don't know what it's going to cost. But I know what it cost when I signed my name and I handed it to the devil, and he drove me in sin and misery for years. And he said, I'm uninterested. So I have to sign my name at the bottom of this page and hand it to my Lord and say, whatever. That was his heart. As we kept talking, kept sharing, they were throwing that out. We talked about the kingdom of God and entering the kingdom and outside of the kingdom. And he said, you know, I've never heard this before. Me myself, I've never heard this before, but I thought it was interesting. He said, I've been a thief and a robber before. And as a thief and a robber enters into the kingdom of God, he said, I've lived in a state of peace and love. When I was on drugs and alcohol, things like that. And he said, everything's great and wonderful. There's peace and you love everyone. And so he said, again, I've just never heard this illustration, but he said, I feel like I have tasted the kingdom of God in that type of a state. But that's only a thief and a robber. I just thought, again, never heard that. But he said, I want to be in the kingdom of God. As we continued sharing, we talked about repentance also and restitution, what all of that means. And he brought up, he said, well, there's one thing I'm not sure about, and that is, and he brought up their marriage situation. And he brought it up, and I know Brother Chad and I were just sitting there saying, thank you, Lord. We actually didn't have to bring it up. He broached the subject. And so we've just continued talking, looked at the Word of God, shared the truth, and we all sat there and we wept and agonized with them. Two beautiful children, they have been on this journey of coming to the light together, and now they're realizing, oh, what is marriage all about? How does that all work? Oh, we haven't followed God's plan. And I have to wrestle with the repercussions of a past life, and we just wept. And they wept as they shared some of their past and some of the experience and some of the mess. I just share that just to say, as we sat there, I realized, Lord, this hurts. It aches. And we wept. I think it was my wife who said, one of the hardest conversations I've ever had. Sometimes it hurts, but we get to be a part of God's work in hearts and lives, and we must do it by taking careful, careful heed. Why take heed? And we'll see as we go on here. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12 of chapter 3. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. So we need to take heed, but we must build. We just need to take heed how we build. And the honest truth is, I think we are building. I don't think you can not build. It's either wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And I felt like this was a new thought to me as I meditated. Every man's work shall be tried. Paul, how did you build Corinth? I used to take that more as, okay, we will all be tried. And I think that's true. It fits in that context. But here it's talking about the context of the work that they're doing, that the Apostle Paul and Apollos and God were laboring in Corinth. God is saying it's going to be tried. And it's going to be tried by fire. And that is how you will tell how it was built. I thought of my own children. Lord, how am I building with my children? Am I building in their lives wood, hay, and stubble? Or am I building gold, silver, and precious stones? And you know what? It'll come out someday. That makes me tremble. That makes me say, Lord, I better take heed how I build. Because I'm seeking to build up temples. And I'm making it individual, and God was making it corporate here. I think it can work both ways. But as I raise my children, I'm building temples. Lord, how am I building? Well, it's my children, and I want us to all realize that this falls upon all of us. It's not just those of us with children. It's not just the elders and deacons of a church. All of us are called, and we're not going into some of these other verses. We'll get into a few here, but probably not many. We're all called to be a part of laboring and building the temples of God. And we'll get to that. But realize, it means you. It means you. It means every one of us. We're laboring and building. Whether it's our neighbors, whether it's our children, whether it's among the Church of God, or whether it's in Bolivia. God wants us laboring to see His kingdom built. And fire is going to try what you build. Fire will try. That's what he says. Fire will try what we've built. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And I just thought this is noteworthy also. Abiding work receives reward in here. I'm not trying to get too theological here. Abiding work receives reward. But that's just what he says. If your work is abiding, then there's a reward. Okay, Lord, what's that mean? Can we just allow a little bit of the seriousness of being a laborer together with God to settle down on our hearts? It's a serious, serious matter that we dare not take lightly. Sorry, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. So defilement results in destruction. Defilement of God's temple results in destruction. That's strong language. But that's what God is saying. Defilement results in destruction. Can we not quake again with the awesome, and I mean awesome carefully, awe-filling responsibility of being a laborer together with God? Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Now be careful. As you're building, He's saying, be careful. And I should keep going. I'm going to stop. You can write your own things if you want. I'm sorry. Let him deceive. Any man among you seems to be wise, let him become a fool. Be careful lest you use the wisdom of this world. Don't just finagle in the wisdom of this world and think you can make things work out. It won't work out in the end. I'm afraid that's what happens. And I look at my own heart and I say, Lord, where am I doing that? Where am I building out of the wisdom of men? It may look good now, but in the end, fire will try it and we'll see. Was it built by the wisdom of men or was it built by the wisdom of God? For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know these verses also. Laborers together with God. We then, for 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, we then, as workers together with Him. What, Paul? We as workers together with Him. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Again, that principle, workers together with Him. I want us to look at two different illustrations. The first one, I want us to go back to the Garden of Eden, and then we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. But first, let's go just to the Garden of Eden here with me real quickly. And I know we could turn to some verses. We'll see. I'm going to flip back there. But we're going to be back here in 2 Corinthians 6. But remember when God made the earth. The Almighty Eternal God speaks, and we have fish. He speaks, and we have trees. He speaks, and the stars go. And He's creating and creating and creating. And the tendency is, in the sixth day, we don't see as much of a difference as what I think God sees. He's creating and the world totally misses it. And they're saying, okay, we have cows and we have monkeys and we have people, and they just kind of put them all together. But on that sixth day, God made a difference. He stepped apart and He said, now I want to make man. And the difference is, I'm going to make man in our own image. And so we all know He created man and He made us different than the animals. Then He placed him in the garden and God said, okay, He created everything and He said, it is good. It's very good. But then He gave Adam a job to do. Adam, I want you to dress and keep the garden. God had a job for Adam. Cows, you just do what you're supposed to do. Monkeys, climb in the trees and glorify me. But Adam, listen, you have something to do. I'm going to put you in the garden, and this is before sin. And I want you to dress and keep the garden. I'm not sure what that meant. I really am not sure. Because we like to talk about not having thorns. And not having thistles. But Adam had a job to do. It seems to me that God didn't create the Garden of Eden to grow perfectly all by itself. Did it mean he needed to prune the apple trees? I'm not sure. He had to do something in dressing and keeping the garden. So maybe he had to go and prune some branch. An apple tree will bear fruit, but it does better if someone dresses it and keeps it. And so here, can you see a little bit, I believe, of a picture of God saying, Adam, I made you different than the animals. I want you to be like me. And I want you to work with me, is really what he was saying. And I want you to dress and keep the garden. And again, he doesn't spell out what that means, but he does use dress and keep. And so I get the picture there. Here's Adam. God is calling him. I want you to live in the garden, and I want you to do something that works with me. You can't make the apple tree grow, Adam. You can't make a peach tree bear fruit. You can't make a carrot grow, but I'm going to give seeds. I'm going to make seeds work. And I don't know how much God intuitively, instinctively put into Adam the context, the concept of taking seeds and planting them and growing them. Again, I don't know all of that. We don't have that spelled out to us. But Adam had a job to do with God in this garden. And so here's Adam and Eve. Adam, dress and keep it. The problem was, Adam got distracted from the God-given responsibility of his Creator, was given him by his Creator. He got distracted by his senses, Adam and Eve, distracted by their senses in the things that they were actually supposed to be doing. They were supposed to be dressing and keeping the garden. They were supposed to be eating the fruit of the garden. They were supposed to be living in the garden. But somehow, in the very things that they were supposed to do, they got distracted with their senses. And they forgot. Maybe they didn't forget. They just went against what they knew they should and shouldn't do. Adam got distracted from being a laborer together with God. Have you ever gotten distracted from being a laborer together with God? We dare not do it. We know the result of Adam and Eve. But they got distracted. Many times the stuff of this life and the creation and the call of us as fathers to make money for our families so we can live, and the call of mothers to take care of children from diapers to daily responsibilities. And the problem is sometimes, just like Adam and Eve, if we get caught up in our senses and are driven by the things that we see, taste, feel, hear, and those become the deciding factors, we're missing out. And we're forgetting, that's not what I have you on planet Earth for. We have been memorizing John chapter 17 as a family, or we were. And this verse stuck out to me. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Father, don't just take them out of the world. I want them left in the world. Left in the midst with evil all surrounding them. Left in a very dark place where there's sin and mess and wrong. Father, leave them there. But oh, keep them from evil. And that's a picture I get again. It's the heart of our Father. He's saying, I've made a beautiful creation. I've made things to work. And now I want this little link, this little laborer that's together with me. I want him left here on planet Earth. And oh, Father, keep him from evil. But leave him there. Because he has a job to do. He's left in the midst of this world. He's more like me than he is like the creation. Isn't that the way it ought to be? We're more like Him. He made us in His likeness. Back in Genesis, in the likeness of God created He man. And so we're more in His likeness, and we're a part of His goals, and we're a part of His eternal purposes. And yet He says, Father, what I want out of this creation is for them to be left in the midst of the world and keep themselves from the evil. And we can go on in John and see His longing in His heart for the people of God, for there to be unity and a beautiful love flowing, and for them to be a display to the world and for the world to see, we can see that. But again, I see the heart of Jesus saying, stay there. I want you, my children, to stay in the midst of it. But I want you to live holy, separate from evil. And I want you to be the part of God that is hands and feet on planet Earth. And be co-laborers together with God. Isn't that beautiful? That's awesome. It really is. That you and I have the responsibility of being a co-laborer and messing with eternal things. And let's remember, brothers and sisters, that's what we're here for. I told Laura yesterday as we were traveling, I don't have anything new to say. And she said, there isn't anything much new to say. There are some new things maybe, but very little. I'm just here to remind us, brothers and sisters, don't let your senses catch you up with the things that you're supposed to be doing, but get centered around those things, and those are the things that become the deciding factors and the things that motivate you and the things that keep you busy and the things that keep your mind busy and the things that keep your hands busy and the things that keep everything just swirling and twirling. It was just a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I'm trying to oversee my father's business. He was in India, and I was trying to prepare a place for us in Vermont. And so I was living in Pennsylvania, traveling to Vermont some, trying to keep the business going, trying to keep our family decent, trying to close down a house down there and start up a house up there. And one morning, we get up in the morning, and Lars said something about, so what are you going to try to accomplish today? And I said, well, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do everything I can as fast as I can, as quickly as I can, and get done as much as I can, and I don't know whatever as I can, and then I'll go to bed again. You ever felt like that? Let's be careful. In the midst of rushing, that we don't let the senses of the things that are around us in our garden, like Adam and Eve did, and they were supposed to take care of the trees. I'm supposed to find a place for my family. I'm supposed to care for them. I need to, all of these things that we're supposed to do, but they must not be the driving force that makes our decisions for us. We must remember, I am left here. Jesus left me here on purpose, separate from the evil, and yet I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to take care of these peaches and apples, but I'm not supposed to eat that one. I'm not supposed to allow my senses, I'm jumping from Adam and Eve, okay, in the garden to us. Can you see the picture here? I'm not supposed to allow my senses to draw me and drive me and make my decisions for me. And that's what the world does. They don't see themselves as an ambassador sent with a special purpose in the midst of an evil and a sinful generation with a special purpose from the living God of the universe. The world doesn't see that, and they're driven by their senses. What looks nice, tastes nice, feels nice, works out nice. And that's how they make their decisions. But brothers and sisters, I just want to be a reminder to us here this morning. We are called to be laborers together with the living God of the universe. From eternity past, there was somehow, we can see if we dig into Ephesians, there was a concept in His mind. And He created planet Earth and He wanted it all to run. And He left human beings there. And I just love the principle in Ephesians 3, His eternal purpose. And He wants His eternal purpose accomplished in human beings living on planet Earth, but displaying holiness and purity. That the one of the reasons, if you look in Ephesians 3, that has blessed me, and I'm jumping out of context here, but one of the things that has blessed me is so that the principalities and powers look on and marvel. You look at that in Ephesians 3. That's one of our jobs, is to display Him and His ways to the point that the principalities and powers look on and say, wow, the wisdom of God. That's what it says there in Ephesians 3. You dig that out. Wow, the wisdom. The principalities and powers to see that. It's our job to be on planet Earth doing a job for God. So we looked at Adam and Eve just a little bit. And you see how they sinned. And they forgot, or maybe forgot isn't the right word. They chose against what God had determined for them to do, and rather than using what was around them in the way that God had said, with the purpose of Him in mind, they got distracted with their senses and were drawn into the what they wanted and what they thought was nice and what they thought looked good, rather than remembering their labor for God. Creation stuff consumed their eyes and mind more than the Creator and His working. Creation stuff consumed their heart, their eyes, and their mind more than the Creator and His working. And they got distracted with what pleased their senses instead of what pleased God. Now let's back in 2 Corinthians 6. We then, as workers together with Him, let's go back up to verse 18 in chapter 5. I'm going to back up here a little bit. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Same thing. We have a ministry. We have a calling. We have a responsibility. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Paul, go preach the word and be a minister of reconciliation. Apollos, you go and do your part. Dear brother and sister, you go and you do your part. I have committed it unto you. I have said, Father, don't take them out of the world, John 17, but leave them in the world, but keep them from the evil. But leave them there, because they have a job to do. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Paul says, so I am taking up my job, and I'm saying to you, Corinth, be reconciled to God. I'm wanting to be an ambassador. I'm laboring together with my Father. One time I met an ambassador of the United States. Now, I think he was an ambassador's helper. I forget. Was he a true ambassador or was he a notch-down ambassador helper? I think he was an ambassador helper. In Zanzibar, they had a meeting where they called all American citizens, or they opened it to all American citizens to go and meet this new, again, it was an ambassador's helper, but to me, a little boy, this feels like this is a big man, you know? And he was an ambassador. And we went there. You know, they had no desire in the language of that area. They didn't. When we went among them, there wasn't greetings and you know, Tanzanian, Swahili things. No, it was American. American food, maybe even shipped from the States. American brands, American talk, American, you know, as we were there. He was an ambassador. He was representing America to Tanzania. He wasn't trying to be like Tanzania. That wasn't his desire. We're America. That's who we are for them. He was an ambassador of America. Brothers and sisters, we're ambassadors. Keep them from the evil, Lord. We're not called to be mixed in with this mess and this evil. We're called to be separate. And we're called to be an ambassador for our Father in heaven with a job to do. We then, for He hath made, verse 21, the last chapter 5, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Verse chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you, please, Corinth, receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God. Verse 4. In much following of our senses and doing what we like and what feels nice and falling into the trap of the enemy like Adam and Eve did. No. Opposite here now. I'm not forgetting, the Apostle Paul saying. I'm not forgetting like Adam and Eve did and letting my senses drive me. Do you know what I'm doing? Patience, afflictions, necessities, distresses, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings, fastings. it goes on and on. See, it depends what we're looking at, what we're looking for, and who we think we're representing and what we're living for. The Apostle Paul was not trying to paint this drudgery life and this picture of something miserable. But he did want us to realize, when you're relating to the things of this world, remember you're not of it. The world is trying to get all they can out of their senses. They're trying to, when it comes to money and it comes to comfort and it comes to the things and it comes to stuff that amaze and dazzle, and they're trying to get all they can out of it. It's all they have. But if we remember, I'm an ambassador of the Most High God of the universe. I've been called with a different calling. He's left me here on planet Earth for a purpose. He didn't take me to glory with Him. He left me here. And so all the temptations and the stuff and the creation stuff and all of this, I want to do it in a holy way. I want to do it in a godly way. But I'm not going to let those senses drive me. I'm going to, in the sense of my senses, it's going to take patience. There's going to be tumults. There's going to be testings. There's going to be tryings. Why? Because I'm from another country. I'm driven by another king. I have other motives. I have other motivations. And I want to live for them. Please, Corinthians, be ye reconciled to God. It's been a new experience for me of the busyness of life when it happened to be, it was my father's business, helping to oversee that. And then I bought a house. That kind of surprises me. I know we need to live here, but I want to live lightly. I don't want to get caught up in the stuff and the things and the busyness of this life and forget what I've really been called to. And so I don't know. I wasn't sure that I'd ever buy a house, but I did. And it's not done. It needs work. And so I'm working with my boys. And so now there's lots to be done. There's lots of things to fix. There's lots of things that need made and built. And so I'm wrestling now in one sense. Okay, Lord, how do I do this? How do I walk through this? How do I keep the concept that I'm an ambassador? And so in some senses, I share this for myself this morning. Lord, how do I do it? In the midst of making a living, in the midst of a house, in the midst of stuff, in the midst of so many things that need to be and could be done. How do I remember? This isn't really my stuff. This isn't my responsibility. I'm going to take care of it properly, but this isn't important to me, and I'm not going to be driven by these things. How do I not just live the life that gets up and does everything he can as fast as he can, as quick as he can, going on to the next thing as soon as he can so that he can... How do I do that, Lord? How do I not do that and be an ambassador, a laborer together with him? That's our calling. Ministers of God, workers together. That's our calling. Brothers and sisters, we must keep this in mind. We're from another country. I've thought of Abraham so many times. He was a wealthy man and could have built himself and Sarah a very nice house and made themselves a little kingdom and settled down and been a whole lot more comfortable. It's not that they just lived in the olden times when, you know, it was just kind of a difficult life and they didn't have the comforts. No. Remember the children of Israel? They wanted to settle down in houses too. Same principle, same kind of people, same flesh and blood. Abraham chose not to, and God said, a man of faith. Because he realized he had a calling on his life and he said, I'm not looking for an abiding city here. It's one to come. And he lived as the father of faith. 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 Seeing beyond what is seen and the senses of today and the feelings of today. And seeing beyond the veil of the seen, seeing into the unseen, and by faith saying, yes, Father, how do I be your ambassador today? I shared about this dear couple, and our hearts ache with them as we realize the agony. And I shared a couple of things with Alan, asked to share a couple of things about Zanzibar last night. And you know, we can share story after story after story of people in a mess and in bondage and bound, and they're sick of what they have gotten out of their senses. Let's not follow them and call ourselves the people of God and allow the senses of what is around us and the stuff that we taste and feel and look at to distract us from the realization, I am a child of the King. I've been given a job. I've been given a responsibility. Yes, it should make us tremble. It's only according to grace given. It's only, and we can go down through that list. Two things. When we look at being laborers together, that means with God, that means you and I have a responsibility to others. You know what else that means? Second thing, that also means others have a responsibility to me. That means we have to allow humankind and people to influence us and mold us and rebuke us and direct us. You see, these two things are tied totally together. If I'm called to be a laborer together with God, to seek to be a blessing to you all and to the people I'll meet on Monday as I travel on out to South Dakota and to my neighbors and to my family, if I'm called to be an ambassador from my Father, living a holy life yet in the midst of an evil world, that means you're called to do the same to me. And I'm called to do the same to you. We need each other. You see that principle bound in there? If we're a laborer to the world, we know we're also a laborer to each other. And that means I need to realize the grace, given grace to my brother, is for me. And I need to bow my heart to grace given to my brother when he speaks into me. But do you know what? We can do that if we remember properly what we're doing and what we're about. If we remember properly, I've been left here on planet Earth for a reason, and that reason is not to get caught up in my senses and do everything just be nice and easy. That reason is to be a laborer together with my Father, to represent eternity and the purposes of God here on planet Earth. If Jesus would have lived here on planet Earth, I tend to think many times, it would have been so much better. He would have done everything right and beautiful and perfect. But He said, no, I need to go. I'm going to go because I'm going to come again as the Comforter. And as the Comforter comes and dwells in you, then the vision of what the heart of God is will really be accomplished. Because then the Comforter could come and can dwell in all of us. And we'll walk around as created beings in the midst of an evil world, but left in the world as ambassadors for our Father in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Don't forget, brothers and sisters, don't forget. Don't forget what your calling is. Monday morning's just around the corner, and it's a normal Monday morning. And so life's going to come at us. Can you get up Monday morning and say, Lord, here I am. I get to be a laborer together with you. How, Lord Jesus, would you walk through today? How did you walk through your days? And let me do that in the same way. And if we remember, yes, in the midst of an evil world, but walking as a holy, beautiful child of God, to be a laborer together with my Father, that's my job. Whether you're hammering nails, welding steel, changing diapers, sweeping floors, making food, or you get the opportunity to share the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ with someone you meet tomorrow, be an ambassador, brothers and sisters. And remember what you're really called to do in life. A laborer together with Him. Let's pray. Father, just help us, Lord, help us to be the people you want us to be. Don't let us get distracted, Father, with the glare and glitter and shine that the world puts, the sugar-coatedness it puts on the stuff and things and distractions. Help us, Lord, to remember that we're ambassadors for you. It's what our calling and election is, to be a representative of Jesus Christ, His hands and His feet. you bless my dear brothers and sisters, Lord, as they seek to live this out Monday morning. And would you help me to do it? Help us to do it, Lord, to our families, to our church, to the world around us, where you've placed us, each in our own little part. Oh, thank you so much, Lord, for an eternal glimpse of what we're really called to. Lord, you know it gives me motivation. It gives me courage to face another day. Father, bless my brothers and sisters. Give them courage to face another day in the power and strength of Jesus Christ. Give them courage, Lord. And help us, keep us, Lord, keep us from evil. Though you've left us here, keep us from evil. And help us to properly represent you. Thank you, Father. We take this responsibility with thankfulness, with trembling. Thank you, though, Lord. Thank you. Help us to be faithful. Oh, help us to be faithful. Bless my dear brothers and sisters here at Bern, Lord. Thank you for them. Thank you for the faithfulness that I see in them. And I pray, Father, you'll just let your word here this morning be a little encouragement as they seek to walk holy people in the midst of an unholy world. Workers together with you, an amazing thing. Thank you, Father. In and through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you all.